Happy Easter.
And here's why. A reading from Mark chapter 16, the first 8 verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Please pray with me. Risen God, lean down and breathe life into these sacred texts. Open to us the wisdom of your word today and enlighten us with your truth. Liberate us from all that distracts us and turns us from your path. Guide us and ground us in Christ's everlasting hope. Amen. He is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen, but God did not think that it was important to make sure that I rose this morning. I do wonder if, as Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome were walking to the tomb that morning, they were walking before dawn, and I wonder if they even noticed the sunrise. Obviously, I don't get to see very many sunrises. I'm much more of a night owl. If I do see the sunrise, it is because I have stayed awake that whole time. I am not about to set an alarm to wake up before the sun rises. So usually I just sleep right through the sunrise and it just sort of happens. And even if you are the type of person who wakes up when it's still dark 30 outside, I'd hazard to guess that unless it's a very spectacular show of light and color, you don't pay a whole lot of attention to the rising sun every day. It's something that we have just come to expect. It just happens. So unless we're intentional about it, the things that we experience again and again and again, they don't really tend to stand out at us. Kind of like my phrase, again and again, that we've been using throughout Lent. Whether we're paying attention or not doesn't make the sunrise any less beautiful or awesome or miraculous. I had to look into, like, okay, what does it take for a sunrise? Like in physics and astronomy, it's mind-boggling what it takes for the sun to rise on us every single day. The Earth spinning 1,000 miles an hour. It travels in orbit 584 million miles along, and it goes around a star that is 1 million times bigger than our planet. Everything has to work in just the right order for us to see the sunrise every single day, and yet it just happens again and again. I'd venture to say that Easter is almost as familiar to us as a sunrise. We know the story. I think most of us here have heard this story every single year since we were children. Easter happens whether we observe it or not. Yes, this is a special day in the church year. I'd argue it is the most special day in the church calendar. But in many ways, today is also like every other day. The sun rose in the eastern sky. Alarm clocks beeped. Some of us ignored it. Covers were removed. Coffee and tea were brewed. Our weary bodies came alive as we brushed our teeth and showered. However, for those of us who've been sitting in the tension of this past week, we experience this day a little differently. We've all intentionally gathered here this morning because we know that when we come together as a practice, it helps us name the important things that we might otherwise just let pass by. Now, each gospel writer has different ways to describe what happened on Easter morning. On this amazing day when what was expected to happen didn't happen. When that thing that is happens again and again and again, that didn't happen. When God does a new thing, Mark's account is abrupt. The woman head out, grieving and focused, to tend to the body of their friend and teacher who had just been murdered by the state. They talked about the logistics of moving stones from the tomb. And as they walked, the sun just barely peeking up over the horizon. When they arrived, that stone has already been moved away from the entrance. There's a young man there, weirdo. The young man there is telling them, "Don't be alarmed." What? He assures the women that they are in the right place. But Jesus isn't there. Jesus has been raised. Go and tell the others that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. Mark's gospel ends with, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." That's it. Mark leaves us hanging there. It's such a sudden ending that followers added endings to Mark's gospel. When you get home, open up your Bibles to Mark 16, and you will see that there are two alternate endings to the book of Mark. They're going to be set apart in brackets. That's how unsatisfying the original ending is. People decided to finish it for him. Mark doesn't tell us what happened to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. He doesn't tell us what happened to the other disciples. There's no post-resurrection encounters. There's no meetings on the road, in the garden, or at the dinner table. No resolution, no closure, no explanation of the mystery. He does tell us, however, what happened to Jesus. Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. He's not here. He's gone ahead of you. You'll see him just as he told you you would. I'm sure for many of you, just like some of the followers of Mark later on, this probably isn't a very satisfying ending for you either. But I have to say, personally, I welcome this ending more than the other Gospels. And I definitely prefer this ending to the other added endings. I think what I really like here is that Mark leaves room for us to imagine the reunion for ourselves. He allows us to consider what that meeting might look like for us and allows us to contemplate our responses. I also really appreciate that Mark doesn't make us come to Easter full of joy and exuberance, especially after sitting through the uncertainty of Holy Week or whatever else might be happening in your lives. Mark doesn't expect us to immediately turn off the grief and sadness of last week and pump up the joy and the celebration. The woman didn't go to the tomb expecting or even looking for hope. They were looking for a place to grieve. They wanted to be left alone with their despair and to care for the body of their friend. Yet what they found when they got there was continuous forgiveness and infinite love, even if they didn't quite understand it yet. And Mark lets us linger in that untidy space. Mark also doesn't make us feel like we have to instantly believe this, let's be honest, entirely unbelievable and inexplicable thing that has just happened. He reminds us that resurrection happens before we have all of the answers, before we even recognize the risen Christ, before he greets us, before he offers comfort and peace. Here's the thing. Mark writes, knowing that his readers and us are well aware of how the story unfolds. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome eventually find their courage and voice. Peter and the disciples did see the risen Lord, and their encounter with him becomes the bedrock of the apostolic proclamation of the gospel that resounded throughout the Roman Empire and is still with us today. The story doesn't end with terror and silence. The story is still unfolding through us today. With Mark's abrupt ending, Mark has brought us, all of us, into the center of Christ's resurrection. We stand with the woman at the empty tomb, face to face with Jesus' resurrection. And we're told Jesus is not in the tomb. Rather, he's out there, out serving and ministering and loving people that know that need to know that they are loved. And alongside the women, we are also invited to join Jesus in this serving, ministering, and loving people. I'll be perfectly honest. It's hard work. We all face complicated and overwhelming problems that are born of this world. The woman at the empty tomb had reason to be afraid of the young man's instructions. However, if we believe in the resurrection, if we really believe in the resurrection, we must believe it in the very core of our being. This isn't something that we can just put a checkbox in next to a questionnaire in a questionnaire about our beliefs. If we really believe that Jesus rose from the grave, then that belief should transform our everyday lives. Who we are and what we do is forever changed by the resurrection. So Mark leaves his gospel incomplete, as if to ask us today, hey, did you find him? While you were out there carrying his love and forgiveness and hope out into the world, did you see Jesus beside you? If you did, that's Easter. That's resurrection. That is the sunrise of a new day. Again and again, the sun rises, whether we're ready for it, acknowledge it, or see it. God is literally and figuratively turning the world around. May we be reminded each day that the sun rises, that Easter comes to us again and again, even if we don't entirely know what to make of God's resurrecting ways. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.